And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at secrets. Oh, we got a lot of secrets to get at. Let's go right into it. You know, I love the secrets because I like to expose some things. And I like to get the devil's people running away, just running and you know, like cockroaches looking. You know, when the light comes on, boy, they run, don't they? You ever noticed that? When I was a young man, I was quite poor, and we had a lot of cockroaches in the house, no matter what we did. I guess the houses were so old and junky, and they just came through the little cracks and everything. But, boy, in Texas, they have these big roaches. Ooh, they're terrible. I think they're about 2.5 inches. Maybe I'm overstating it, but they're quite big. You know, I had a guy come from up east, and he said, these are not roaches. These are water bugs. No, they're roaches. We call them roaches. Well, you know, I don't want to talk about the roaches very long, but it is good to see them running. Boy, they don't like the light shined on them, do they? You know, Jesus Christ is that bright light. I talk about that quite a bit. I love that Jesus is the light. It says that he's going to destroy the devil with the brightness of his coming. Now, that's going to be an astonishing thing. And you know, they recently made the incredible discovery, these doctors, they found that when the sperm and the egg meet, and there's a connection between a sperm of a man and a egg of a female, a bright light goes off. Isn't that something? It's like, bingo, we've met. I mean, a bright light goes off. That shows you the life that is already there. There's a life forming. The instant they get together, the scientists noted, they said a light goes off. They don't know what that light is. When the sperm and the egg, they meet, they match, they get together, bingo, boy, a light goes off. A discovery. That's just astonishing, isn't it? You know, there's so much about the Bible that's just amazing. For example, I love this verse. I've always loved this verse. It has to do with the world. It says, the whole world lies in wickedness. 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness. But you can know that you're of God. You know, I had a lady one time, she called me up from Massachusetts. Now, Massachusetts is a long way from Texas. She said, I must come and talk to you. I want to know if I'm saved. Well, you can know. You already know. Are you saved or not? She told me she had prayed over and over again, and she just didn't feel saved. I said, well, you can know you're saved. You should know you're saved. She said, I don't know that I'm saved. I want to make sure I'm saved. I said, no, don't come. You think about it. I gave her some verses to read in the Bible. I said, read these things. You don't need to come this great distance. And the woman came anyway. She rode on a bus all the way. She didn't drive a car. She couldn't drive, so she rode on a bus. And she came into my ministry office, and she said, I'm here to ask you that question. I studied those verses you gave me, and I still don't know whether I'm saved. Wow. We know that we are of God. Now, some people are like that. They say, I just don't know if God will accept me. I've done so many sins, I'm sure he can't accept me. You're calling God a liar. What do you want to do that for? Maybe you're not saved, or you wouldn't be calling God a liar. He's got the power to save you. I don't care how much sinning you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care if your father called you a bad girl or a bad boy. I don't care if your wife or husband says you're an evil person. If you accept Jesus Christ, you repent of your sins, and you want to do what's right, and you're determined to do what's right before God and serve him and him only, well, why don't you accept Jesus' salvation? Now, I think there are some people that's true. You know, I met a man who authored one of the books that we offer to this ministry. You know, not every book that I offer is a Christian book. I want you to know that. I offer a lot of books just for information sake. And every book that I offer, people write to me and say, you must believe everything this guy does. You offer the book. No, I don't. No, I just, you know, I read the newspaper every day too, and I don't believe everything in it. That's for sure. And, well, I tell you, let's just get on with the secrets. It's true, though. You will know. God will put it in your heart. And, you know, in John, we're told that even if we, our mind denies it, our heart will tell us. Your mind may say, oh, no, you're a wicked person. You know, that's the devil. The devil loves to throw darts at you. That's what happened with this woman. The devil was throwing darts at her. Look, she did a lot of bad things. She was about 60 years old. She had done all kind of bad things in her life. And I said, so what? Are you the most wicked person on earth? No. Well, then praise God. In fact, maybe you should go out and thank him a thousand times. If you're very wicked and he saved you, that just shows his power. Why don't you tell other people about it? Go out and say, I was a wicked person and Jesus saved me. Be a witness. I'll tell you. You know, that's why Christians love reformed sinners. And sometimes Christians are fooled, you know, by deceivers. They know that Christians love reformers. And they make up big stories about how they used to be such terrible sinners. Just so the Christians will be deceived and they'll get what they want from the Christians. I've known of people like that. Well, hey, listen, here's a secret for you. Ken Starr, remember him? He was the guy that was the special counsel, the prosecutor, in the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Ken Starr, attorney. Well, became very famous for having that case. Remember Monica Lewinsky and the stain on her dress and all that kind of stuff. And finally, you know, they held that Clinton, you know, was not convicted. They didn't find him innocent. They just didn't convict him. In any case, Ken Starr himself has been in a little bit of trouble lately. Maybe you haven't heard about it. He was a president of Baylor University. Now, Baylor is a Baptist, a Southern Baptist university. Now, they're supposed to be sort of clean, right? They didn't even allow girls and boys to dance with each other until recently. And they say they're quite conservative. I don't know if any Southern Baptist is conservative nowadays. I mean, they're out helping the Muslims to build their mosques in America and all kind of junk. But in any case, Ken Starr was fired recently as president. It seems that four or five different girls were raped by student athletes, big old football players, raping these young girls, co-eds. And they say that Ken Starr covered it up, or at least he didn't do much about it. Here's this big old guy, president of a university, and the girls go in and file complaints saying they've been raped, and then he tries to push it under the table. That's the story I got. Well, they did a report on it. They hired a law firm, and they took about 6 or 9 months and millions of dollars, and they finally found that Ken Starr deserved to be fired. So he was fired. That's secret one. By the way, Art Briles, the head football coach, a brilliant coach, perhaps the best coach in all of America, was fired for the same thing. He didn't do enough. And they say that he tried to cover it up too. Now, but Baylor won't tell anybody what the report says. They just say that Art Briles, the football coach, didn't do what he's supposed to do. And Ken Starr, the president of the university, didn't do what he was supposed to do. But why won't they tell us the exact circumstances of this case? Why won't they release the report? Don't they believe in transparency? Don't they believe in getting the facts out? Evidently not. They're hiding it. This Baptist university, these crumbs are keeping it a secret. Well, so much for honesty and transparency, right? Oh, my. In any case, Art Briles, it seems like his career is over. They had to give him a $15 million settlement, though. I suppose some people would say, well, fire me. Give me $15 million. Fire me. That's a lot of money. He was making about $4 or $5 million a year. That's a lot of money, too. I'm not kidding you in saying that he was perhaps one of the two or three best coaches in America. Anybody would agree with that. You know, Baylor, they won only one or two games a year for the years going. They were considered the worst team in the Big 12. And then Art Briles got there. Fabulous coach. And he led them. They were at the top of the ranks. They were like number two or three or four in the nation for years. Amazing. They went from nothing all the way to the top. But along the way, the players turned out to be thugs. Just thugs. Brutal thugs who raped innocent young ladies. And in light of all the facts, I say, well, Art Briles got what he deserved, and so did Ken Starr. By the way, Ken Starr recently said, it's unbelievable. He recently was asked about Bill Clinton. And he said, well, I think he's sorry for what he did. We should forgive him. You know, we should forgive him for what he did. He's sorry for what he did. Bill Clinton raped a girl too, Juanita Broderick. And he did terrible sexual acts. By his own admission, he admitted, I've had adultery with over 1,000 women. That's Bill Clinton, our former president. And he's sorry for what he did. We should forgive him as a Christian, as Christians. He hasn't asked for forgiveness. Hey, Starr, are you an idiot or something? People have to ask for forgiveness. You know, a lot of Christians are done wrong by somebody, and you know, they have a child murdered or a child raped or something terrible incident has occurred, and they go around saying, I forgive the assailant. I forgive this person for doing that. Forgiveness is a great thing. In fact, if you're not willing to forgive, God won't forgive you. That's what he says in the Lord's Prayer. But wait, they've got to ask for forgiveness. You can't just go out there and say, I forgive you. They'll spit in your face. Well, how about Paul Ryan? He's a new House Speaker. Well, he's been there about 6 months now. It seems like this guy is a two-faced jerk. He really is. I mean, he's only been there 6 or 7 months as House Speaker, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, and he's already given Obama all the money he wants for the next 2 years. Obama's only going to be there another 7 months. Then he goes out. He fully funded Obamacare. By the way, the House is totally deceitful and dishonest. The House of Representatives. Did you know they have now voted 68 times against Obamacare? They had a vote. So if you write your congressman, he's going to tell you, I voted against it. I voted against it. And you're going to run out there and do whoop-de-doo. My congressman voted against Obamacare. The only problem is the next week or next month, he voted for it. He voted to fund it. Now, when you vote against something and then you turn around and vote the money to do it, you're a deceiver. 68 times the House of Representatives has voted against Obamacare, but they keep funding it. You know, that's sort of like, let's say that my son, now he's married and older, but let's say he's still a teenager. And he comes up to me and says, Dad, I want to go see a XXX movie. I need $20. I want to take my girlfriend to see this XXX rated movie. It's a sex fiend movie. It's just in this. I say, well, I don't want you to go see that movie. I vote no. Then I give him $20. I say, okay, here's $20. Go see that movie. Huh? He's going to tell me, well, you just told me not to go. Now you're giving me $20 and you're saying go. That's double-mindedness, isn't it? I'm double-minded. I can't tell him not to go to the movie. I don't want you to go to that movie, that horrible movie, and then give him $20 and say, go to that movie. That's what the House has done. 68 times they've... But if you write your congressman and say, I voted against it. No, what you need to say is, did you vote the money to fund it? Not that he voted against. He's going to say he voted against it. Oh, yeah, I know. Another thing is Paul Ryan also wants to bring in as many Muslims as we can handle. Well, I guess we can handle over 1 million. Did you know that's how many Muslims we brought in this nation last year? I think the official figure is 901,000 or something. Over 900,000, and I don't think it's accurate. I think we probably have brought in 2 or 3 million. They always lie. They bring in, you know, they tell you how many are coming across the border illegally, and probably 5 or 6 times that many have come. Paul Ryan says he disagrees with Donald Trump. He does not want to build a wall, and he rejects a cap on they put on Muslim migrants. He says we can take more. We can take more, 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 more. Bring in those migrants. Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate majority leader, he also wants more Muslim immigrants. But the people of America have spoken. They're angry. They don't want to bring in any more of these Muslim immigrants. They don't want any more terrorist accidents. They don't like radical Islamic terrorists. They don't want people from Somalia, from Libya, from Syria, from Iraq, from all of these Middle Eastern countries that are Muslims. They don't want them bringing in their Sharia law and their Muslim ways into America. They don't want it. But Congress says, we're the elitist. We're the global elitist. You stupid people don't know what you really, what's good for you. We're going to give you this. We're going to bring all these people in, many of them illegal, others not. We're going to pay millions of dollars for these, millions, millions, millions of dollars. And not only that, we're going to pay more for them than we are for American citizens that are out of a job. Paul Ryan says he reluctantly endorses Trump. You know, if I were Trump, I would tell Paul Ryan, don't show up for the Republican convention. See, the House Speaker is the guy who MCs. He's the MC. He gets up, introduces all the speakers, and keeps the proceedings going and everything. I don't want that dirty-minded, filthy, rotten, ultra-liberal at my convention. If I were Trump, I'd say, don't show up, buddy. Go somewhere else. I don't want you, your House Speaker. You're a disgrace. You're the one that funded Obamacare. You're the one that gave him billions of dollars to blow the budget. Trillions were in debt because of you. And you want to bring in all these Muslims to America. No, I don't want your kind at my convention. I mean, after all, Donald Trump has won. He's won the nomination. He went through all, they voted in all these caucuses and these primaries. He won fair and square. Who are these people to get up and say, we disagree with him? Mitch McConnell also said, I disagree with him about immigration. Shut up. Don't go to the convention then. We don't want you there, McConnell. You're an airhead. And they are. Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, they need to get them a big Coke and go down and relax. Forget it all. But don't show up at that convention. It's going to be embarrassing. Oh, I'll tell you. Hey, did you know, do you have high cholesterol? Do you have, you know, they give you a number, your cholesterol reading. They usually just say, yeah, your cholesterol is high. Cholesterol. Or they'll say it's low. But usually if you're a little older, you've probably got some cholesterol in your blood veins, right? And they tell you how bad it is for you. You'll die. You'll die of a heart attack if we don't get this cholesterol down. And so they give you all these medications to bring the cholesterol down. Of course, most of the medications will kill you, but they don't tell you that. Oh, no. They don't tell you that. You know, my mother was, before she died at 96. When she died, she didn't take anything, not even aspirin. I said to her, Mom, don't you need a acetaminophen sometime when you have a headache? I don't have headaches, she said. I said, well, you're a little bit overweight. Don't you have a cholesterol problem? Don't you need something to bring down your cholesterol? No, I don't need anything, she said. I said, wow. She said, I just pray God takes care of me. Wow. Well, then the doctors came out and they said, you know what? We just found out, this is several years back now, we discovered there's bad cholesterol and good cholesterol. You can take the good cholesterol. It's the bad cholesterol you don't want. So we're all out here trying to figure out which is bad, and which is good and all this, and take the good and leave the bad. And now a new study just shows, a new study has come out And it says that of people 55 and older, that's us old folks, cholesterol doesn't matter. Nobody dies because of cholesterol. The death rate is lower than for any other cause. Did you get that? So when a doctor says to you, your cholesterol is going to kill you, just say you need to go to that new study. It says cholesterol doesn't kill anybody. Wow. Now, there's all kind of technical reasons and things behind it. But believe me, cholesterol doesn't kill anybody. They found out. That's what I read. But my mom, one time, she was getting this some years before when she was back in her 80s. She was getting this blood pressure pill. And she says, you know, son, I just don't feel well. I'm all the time, you know, I don't know, my heart, I have palpitations, and I just don't feel good taking this blood pressure pill. Would you investigate this pill and see what it does to my system? So I did. I got online. I did all this study and research. Come to find out, Harvard University Medical School. Couldn't get more prestigious than that, could you? Harvard University Medical School had just finished a study of this particular medication. This high blood pressure pill. And during the process, in the process of them doing this study, a number of patients died that were on it. And they said it was way beyond chance. And so they came out with a conclusion that this high blood pressure medication was killing people. And they told doctors, they stopped their study. They said it's not even ethical for us to give it to the participants in the study because some of them are going to die from it. It's a very dangerous, it's a bad, bad medication. It should not be given out. And they told doctors across the nation, don't give a prescription for this anymore. It's killing people. That was the medication that my mother was taking. The very one that Harvard Medical University said was dangerous and should be discontinued immediately was the one she was getting. That's why she was feeling bad all the time. So I said, Mother, tell your doctor, be very nice, but ask him to put you on another prescription of another medication. Would you do that? She said, okay, son. Well, make a long story short, my mother called me back up and said, I told him what you told me, and he said he was still going to give it to me. That was the only thing he wanted me to take. The only blood pressure pill he wanted me to take. I said, well, did you tell him what I told you? She said, well, I just told him that you found out it wasn't good for me, and I didn't tell him all the details, but he said, well, your son doesn't know anything. He's a book author, so he thinks he knows everything. He doesn't know anything. I'm the doctor. So I called up the doctor, the good doctor. You know, my mother lives out of town here, about 300 miles away. And I called up the doctor, and I was very nice to him. I said, doctor, I would sure appreciate if you would give my mother another prescription. Boy, he just threw a hissy. Well, I'm the doctor here. What are you? You know, do you have a medical degree? Who are you to tell me what to give your mother? I said, just 1 minute, fella. Just 1 minute. You think you know so much as a doctor, you give my mother this pill. You think that's okay, do you? Well, yeah, I've been in medicine for like 40 years or something. I said, well, listen here just a minute. Let me quote to you from the Harvard Medical University study. These are the most prestigious researchers and doctors in America and the world. They found that medicine kills people. Now, do you know more than the medical researchers at Harvard University? Are you telling me that you, a little doctor from Beaumont, Texas, know more than Harvard Medical University? Well, okay. All right. If your mother wants something else, I'll give her something else. He says, she's going to die anyway. Your mother has advanced heart disease. Boy, I called up my mother and I said, listen, he's going to prescribe another pill. But if I were you, go see another doctor. This guy is a wacko. He's a wacko. Well, my mother says, well, you know, as long as he's going to give me another medication, you know, she's a nice person. I think I'll just go ahead and get the other medication. I said, well, call me as soon as he gives you that. Let me know what it is. She did. And it turned out to be something, you know, that was pretty effective and all that I found. Didn't have any dangers to it. And he, by the way, that doctor retired just a couple months later, my mother told me, which is good. You see, friends, a new study I was watching on TV, as I watch TV sometimes, these studies, it turns out that over 200,000 patients die in hospitals every year from the errors made by doctors, from mistakes by doctors. Now, it's bad enough that you got some illness or some disease, some medical condition where you have to go into the hospital, but when you have to worry about the hospital killing you, that's just too much. In fact, this one researcher said it's the third cause of death in the whole United States. The third cause of death is doctor errors. Now, I know everybody trusts their doctor. Oh, my doctor knows so much. Baloney. Baloney. Boy. Doctors, you have to, listen, when they give you a medication, my friends, here's my advice to you. Go check it out. Go online, see what they're saying about it. Talk to other people. It just could be that they're killing you. And they're too stupid to know about it. Now, I want to give some a little bit of slack. There's so many new prescriptions out, so many medical things, and it's hard for doctors to keep up with it, but they have to. That's their job, to keep you alive, my friends. Finally, my mother, she just quit taking everything. Everything she took just didn't suit her, just didn't make her feel good. And she died. She died at 96. And she wasn't taking anything at the time. Oh, my. Now, my wife, her blood pressure has been going up. And every night, before she went to bed, she'd go take her blood pressure. And it was like 210. Now, I don't know if there are two numbers, but the first one, real significant. She'd say it's 205, 210, sometimes 218. And she's going to see every doctor, all the heart doctor and everything. They don't know how to get it down. They've taken this, given them this medication. That... Finally, I said, you know, maybe you ought to take B vitamin. Take vitamin B complex and vitamin B12, those two pills. Are you taking those? She said, no. I said, what if you just take one of those each of a day and see what happens? She did. Now her blood pressure's down. It's gone down to about 150, 160. Still a little bit high. But her blood pressure was over 200 every night. She'd have to take this high-powered blood pressure pill to bring her down. I mean, all she needed was a vitamin. Vitamin B complex and vitamin B12. I don't know if that'll work in your case, so don't get me wrong. I see your doctor, and it might, though. Certainly won't hurt you. But don't believe me. I'm not a doctor. But I can read. I read about Harvard Medical University. I told that doctor, do you know more than they do? Well, no, he didn't know more. I'm just an old grouch, you know. But I do believe in people. I really do. And I think that most people know more about their body than their doctors know. But, you know, you need to study it yourself and do what's right for yourself. And listen to your doctor. Listen to him. I've got several things, and doctors, they don't know what it's all about. Inflammation in my body and things like that. And they've given me that. And I just go ahead and do my thing now. I don't even worry about them. And I like my doctors. They're good people. Well, how about that for secrets, folks? We got a lot more on the other side. We're going to talk about secrets. This is a volume of secrets, and we've got a lot more for you. When we return, in just one moment. We'll be right back. Holy Serpent of the Jews. That's my newest book. You know, my friends, there has never been a book written on this subject for Christians. Never. Why is that? Why is it that no Christian pastor, no Christian author, no leader has ever written you a book that explained what the Jewish religion is all about? They say it's one of the three monotheistic religions, but it's not. The pastors will tell you, well, the Jews believe in the Old Testament, and we've just added the New Testament to that. So really, Christianity is the completion of Judaism. No, it's not. In fact, there's no such thing as Judeo-Christianity. That's a misnomer if there ever was one. In fact, you can't have that. You can't have Judeo-Christianity. That's like satanic Christianity. That Satanism and Christianity don't go together. Can't have that. I just don't understand where these pastors, where they're coming from. But I understand because they don't teach this in seminaries. I don't know of any seminary in America that teaches the pastors what Judaism believes. They don't. Now, let me explain something to you. There are about 20 books that I could recommend by Jewish rabbis, well known. In fact, some of the best known rabbis in the world. The chief rabbi. I can tell you what the chief rabbi of Israel has written a book called the King's Torah. It'll tell you what they believe. But how many Christians read it? None. It's not for sale in Christian bookstores. It's not for sale in any bookstore except those in Israel. Oh, yes, they know what they believe. They know. They know they believe in the Holy Serpent as God. Who is God? Tex, did you say the Holy Serpent? That's right, the serpent. The same one who attempted to deceive Adam and Eve, and he told Eve, surely hath God said. Did God say that? God knows that when you eat of the forbidden fruit, why, you'll be able to know good and evil. You'll be like gods. And the Jews say the devil was a good devil. He was a good serpent. He helped Adam and Eve. He was their helpmate, their companion, their friend, their guide. Oh, can that be true? Can the serpent be the companion, the friend, the guide? Can he be the redeemer? Does he redeem the Jews' souls? Can he make the Jew into another human being? In fact, can he make him higher than a human being? Can he make him a God man or God woman? The Jews say so. They say that he will demolish all of the Gentiles. That Leviathan, the serpent, will give them a great victory. Wow. He will exalt them and they will take the kingdom and become gods on earth. Because Satan is their greater God. Satan is their God? Are rabbis out there preaching this, teaching this? Are they teaching that the serpent is Messiah? Can he be their Messiah? Is that why they rejected Jesus Christ and they chose the serpent instead as their Messiah? Well, I don't say so. The rabbis say so. I report what the rabbis have to say. It's an astonishing thing. You know, back in 1987, I wrote the book Dark Secrets of the New Age. Dark Secrets of the New Age. It was a stunning number one Christian bestseller because people just could not believe what the New Age really believed, what they taught, what their leaders were teaching, what were their doctrines. I showed them in that book. I quote over 1,000 New Age leaders. I have over 1,000 quotes in the book Dark Secrets of the New Age, and now we have the Holy Serpent of the Jews. Over and over and over again, you'll see the Jews' rabbis being quoted. Some of the most famous rabbis throughout history, what they say about their Messiah, their Redeemer, the Holy Serpent. It'll make you sick. It'll make you throw up. It'll make you vomit. And it should. But, you know, the Apostle Paul says, for we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We are not ignorant of the devices of the... Are you ignorant? If you don't know about the serpent in Judaism, you are ignorant. And you believe these false preachers who say, oh, yes, the Jews are wonderful. They're just great people. and we must love the Jews, and they don't even preach to the Jews anymore. I mean, Billy Graham says the Jews are already saved. John Hagee says the Jews are already saved. The Pope of Rome says, don't preach to the Jews. They don't need salvation from Jesus. They have their own sages. They have their own rabbis. Yeah, that's right, Pope. That's right, Pope Francis. They have their own rabbis. And they're all turning on to Satan. They believe in the serpent. But, you know, maybe the Pope doesn't understand that. Is the Pope that stupid? Is he that dumb? I think he knows. I think the Pope knows who the Jews worship. I think he worships the same serpent. What do you think, friends? Is that cruel for me to say that? Or is it realistic? You make up your mind, but first, get all the information. Get the knowledge. Then you can say, well, everything Tech said was not true. The rabbis did not say this.
Uh-huh.
That's what you can say after you've read this book. You could say it, but you won't. What you'll say is, I'm glad I read this book. I'm glad I know. I'm glad I'm not deceived. The Bible says, for we're not ignorant of the devices of the devil. Some people want to be ignorant, but not you, my friends. I trust you. I'm depending on you to get the word out. We need to save souls. We need to tell people what the truth is. We know that Jesus Christ is Messiah. He is Lord. He is our Redeemer, not the serpent. The serpent, my friends, is not holy. He's unclean. He's wicked. Okay, here's how to get this book, $20. Please add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $25. You can order it, just phone us toll free or write us. You can phone us 1-800-234-9673. Say, Tex, give me a copy of Holy Serpent of the Jews. I won't believe it until I see it. Well, okay, good. I like people that say that. I want a person that says, I don't believe your book. I want to see it. I want to see the names of the rabbis. Okay, well, get my book. Check it out. You'll be stunned. You'll be shocked. But you won't be ignorant anymore. Let all the big shots, the Joel Osteens, the Rick Warrens, the Billy Grahams, let all them be ignorant. The Pope, he's just awash in ignorance. But you don't have to be. You can know the truth. Now, again, 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Then you can go also on our website. You'll see the ad right on the top of the page for this incredible book. By the way, a lot of people have commented to me. They said, I bought your book just for the cover alone. The cover, I'm not going to tell you that. Wait till you see that cover. Okay? Powerofprophecy.com. Check out the cover. See what you think. Powerofprophecy.com. And now let's return to our regular program. It's a volume of secrets. You know, it seems that Hillary has a girlfriend. Her name is Huma Abedin. Now, according to the reports, they just marched together, side by side, in the Gay Pride Parade, up in the East Coast somewhere. Marched side by side. Hillary is a gay person, of course. And Huma Abedin is a Muslim. And her folks, by the way, are big officials in the Muslim Brotherhood and all that. Now, what is our former First Lady doing with her chief assistant, her personal secretary, being a Muslim? Well, you know, when Obama was first elected, people said to me, Tex, I believe he's a Muslim. I believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim. Well, I doubted that. I said, that can't be. That just can't be. You know what, my friends? They were right. He is more a Muslim than he is a Christian. Let me put it that way. He is more Muslim than he is a Christian. Well, Hillary is nothing. She was asked what she is. She said, I'm a Methodist. Yeah, well, that begs the question. The question is, are you a Christian? The Pope is a Catholic, but is he a Christian? Billy Graham is a Baptist, but is he a Christian? Now, Billy Graham likes Hillary a lot. He's quite advanced in age, of course. But Billy Graham, in one of his last crusades in Long Island, New York, invited Bill and Hillary Clinton to come to the crusade. Now, I want you to check this out. Look it up on Google. And there were thousands of people, and there was Billy Graham, big Billy Graham crusade. And there was former President Bill Clinton and his lovely wife, Hillary. Now, it seems like a perfect opportunity to talk to this couple, this lovely couple, Bill and Hillary, about Jesus, about what Jesus requires for salvation. But instead, Billy did something else. Billy Graham, he said, you know, and this is right in the microphone, right during his speech, he said, Billy, he said, you're a great man. I believe you should become a Christian evangelist. You should go on the road and preach. You're a preacher. You're a great evangelist. And while you're out preaching the gospel, your wife Hillary can be back at the White House. She can become President of the United States. Wow. Did you understand what I'm going to say that again. Billy Graham told Bill Clinton, you are an evangelist, a Christian evangelist called by God. You need to get out on the road and start and begin preaching about Jesus. Meanwhile, your wife can be in the White House as president. Billy Graham told Parade Magazine. I have that issue, by the way. He was interviewed by Parade Magazine. And he said, I have always voted for the Democrat. I am a Democrat. That was right before the election, of course. Of 2008, I believe. Now, who is the candidate who is pro-abortion? That would be the Democrat, wouldn't it? It's always the Democrats who are pro-abortion. And Bill Graham, Billy Graham says, I have always voted for the Democrat. He's always voted for the person who's an abortionist. Wow. What a faker. What a faker he is. His son, Franklin, was recently on Fox News. And Sean Hannity began talking to him about Hillary Clinton and all of her, the crimes she's guilty of. He said, I don't want to talk about that. That's not my job. I don't do that. I don't talk about crimes or sin by anybody. I just pray for them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure he does. I don't talk about him. I'm not going to talk about it. Who's he going to vote for? I don't talk about that either. Well, his dad always voted for Bill and Hillary Clinton. His dad admits, I voted for Bill and Hillary Clinton. I voted for the Democrat every time. He must have voted for Barack Obama too. You know, Billy Graham was always asked by the president to give the prayer at the presidential inaugural. He was there when LBJ became president. He was there when Bill Clinton became president. Get up and gave a little prayer for the nation. That's nice. He's a Christian, supposedly. But Billy Graham told Parade Magazine, he said, you know, I have told the president, I think that's wrong. A Christian should not be the only one that gets up and prays. We need to have a Jew, a rabbi, get up and pray. And we also need a Muslim imam pray. Wow. We need to share with other religions, he said. Wow. Is that what Jesus said? Share me with other religions. Go out and find all these other religions. Bring them into your home. Bring them into your nation. Did he say that, or did he say what the Ten Commandments tell us? Have no other gods before us. These people have a lot to answer for, my friends. Well, anyway, Hillary and Huma marched in the gay pride parade together. Huma says the first time she saw Hillary, her heart did a skip. She was excited. I looked at her, and she looked at me in the eye, and it was just like, you know, sort of saying love at first sight. And Hillary and her have lived together ever since. You say, Tex, that can't be true. Well, Huma Abedin, she's married to that wiener guy. You know, the guy that only did sexual stuff online, and it was exposed, the former congressperson from New York City. That's who she's married to. Well, you know, a lot of women that are lesbians marry men. They call them beards, don't they? They need somebody that, you know, they can claim as their husband or whatever. But in fact, I don't think she's married. It was just a sham. So I went out to find out who married her. Who is the preacher or who is the Jewish rabbi or the Muslim imam who married you? I was told that it was Bill Clinton himself. How could Bill Clinton marry him? In New York State, you can't, a former president can't marry anybody. It's not like the captain of a ship out in the high seas. He's a former president of the state. He's not a marrier. He can't marry him. And he didn't marry him. They're not married. If Hillary Clinton wins, she'll have a first lesbian in the White House with her, Huma Abedin. A Muslim. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, my friends. Boy. By the way, Bill Clinton, some people say, well, I don't want to vote for Donald Trump. He needs to be more kind, more nice to the Muslim immigrants. He's a bad, bad man. Well, you know, you got two chances. You got Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. My friends, let me tell you something. I, Tex Mars, have never, and I will never vote for an abortionist. And Hillary says that abortion should be legal, and it is perfectly acceptable all the way up to the moment when the baby comes out of the womb. Perfectly formed. At 9 months old. Perfectly formed. It's okay to kill the baby and take it out of the womb. You can reach up there with your pincer, with your knives, and cut the baby to pieces and pull out the pieces. That's okay. She and Planned Parenthood say so. It seems God has another story. God has another plan. Well, if Hillary wins office, she'll appoint 3 or 4 Supreme Court justices. And guess what? They'll destroy America. So when you vote for Hillary Clinton, just remember, I'm telling you, you will be voting for justices who will give you more same-sex marriage, will give you more transgenders in little girls, little boys' bathrooms. You will get more homosexuals. You will get immigrants coming across our border. Millions of immigrants. There will be millions, and America will be gone forever. The America that you knew will be gone. It'll be gone. I'm trying to tell you something. These people that say, I'll never vote Trump, never vote Trump, then you're going to vote for Hillary. Some are saying, I'm just not going to vote. Well, okay, then you voted for Hillary. Not to decide is to decide, my friends. That's it. Not to decide is to decide. Now, Hillary has an immigration plan. She said that she's going to go along with Obama's executive orders. She's going to go one step further. She said her first 100 days in office, she will sign an executive order. It doesn't matter if Congress approves it or not. She's going to sign an executive order that totally revamps immigration. She says she will have 5.5 times as much immigration as does Barack Obama. 5.5 times as much? Boy, that's a lot of illegal aliens coming in, isn't it? That's what she wants. When you sit here a year from now with Hillary as president, and she has just appointed one of the most liberal guys in the United States to be a Supreme Court judge, and they start spewing out their hatred at Christians, remember what I'm telling you. You're the one. You gave us Hillary. She is a devil. Now, you know, I wrote my book, Big Sister is Watching You. And read what one of the lesbian leaders got up in a major speech during the inaugural, when she was first inaugurated, she and her husband got up and he said the oath and became president. Read what the lesbians said about their fellow sister. Notice I said fella sister. Fella, you know, as in, well, anyway. One of the lesbian leaders in America, and I quote her in my book, she says, finally, we have a first lady in the White House that we can F with. I think you know what that word means, F. We have a first lady in the White House that we can F. What? What? Hillary herself said her favorite book, she was asked what her favorite book was. She said it was 1984 by George Orwell. I think this is the most insane, crazy devil woman. Boy. I feel sorry for America, but not too sorry. I feel sorry for those who vote against her. Because, I mean, the woman is very evil. She really is. Boy. By the way, President Obama has just declared a new national monument. You hear about it? Yeah, that's right. Stonewall in New York City is where they had a riot. The gays had a riot there some years ago. And they call it now a monument. The Stonewall, the bar where the gays all met there and did their foul, dirty deeds. He calls it a national monument. The president has declared a gay bar a national monument. That's how low we are, my friends. That's how low we've fallen. It is just amazing. Meanwhile, political correctness is going wild. Are you aware of what all is going on? Political correctness, they're telling little girls and little boys, little girl, if you go into a bathroom now, a public bathroom, and a man's there and he shows you his genitals, you're just going to have to get used to it. That's what the Charlotte Observer newspaper said. You'll have to get used to grown men showing you their genitals in the bathroom, little girl. I don't think so. I don't think Christian mothers are going to let their little girls go in a bathroom and let a man show them his genitals. I don't think so. Now, I know that Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, her foul-mouthed, filthy, dirty behavior in mind, she thinks so. I know that Barack Obama thinks that's just great to see a transgender pull out his genitals in front of little girls. That's what ought to be in showers and in bathrooms across America. But he's wrong. They're sick. They're devils. They're insane, my friends. This place has gone insane. This place is wicked. There's a so-called new tolerance in the world. A new tolerance. And people are holding hands with these devils. That's what homosexuals are. Now, people are telling me that I won't be able to say these things on the air to you. They say already Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, Google, and all these social media outlets, they're going to cut me off. They're not going to allow me to tell you what the Bible says. Well, I tell you, if they won't let me tell you online, if they won't sell my videos and my books, I'm just going to walk out to the streets. I'm going to become a street preacher. I'm still going to tell people. And if they put me in jail, they put me in jail. I think a lot of Christians feel just as do I. How about you? You know, I'm sick and tired of them telling us what to do. When they're telling us the most horrible things. And they're saying we're going to have to do it because the government demands it. Now, recently, the Supreme Court ruled that they've only got 8 justices now because Scalia died and they haven't appointed a replacement for him. But the Supreme Court voted by one vote that quotas can be given to blacks for university admission. They don't call it quota, but they the same thing. blacks can be favored in the admissions process for state universities, law schools, and so forth. A white student at the University of Texas who had better test scores and better grades than all of the blacks in her university, as far as I understand, was told she could not get into University of Texas Law School. But the blacks got in. They favor the blacks simply because of the color of their skin. So we now have a nation that favors you because of the color of your skin. They favor the black race. I think that's wrong. You know, my friends, back in the early 60s, I was all in favor of the blacks who said we should have a colorblind society. We should not have the whites who get preference over the blacks. I found that makes sense to me. It makes sense to have a colorblind society. You know, God says that he made all the people on earth out of one blood. That's in the book of Acts. Did you know that, friends? You see, here at Power of Prophecy, we're like a civil rights organization. We believe it doesn't matter if you're black or you're white or you're Mexican or whatever you are, you're in the same standing with God. And I'm telling you, when you leave this old flesh here on earth, in heaven, you're not going to be a black man or a white man or a Mexican or whatever. Then in hell, they can do anything they want. They can call you purple, whatever they want. You're going to leave this flesh, this skin here on earth. You're going to leave it behind, my friends. But I certainly can't see turning around and saying, okay, you were discriminated against for many, many dozens of years, black man. So now you can turn around and put it over the white man. What's that all about? Who says because they were discriminated against, they can now discriminate? That's what the Supreme Court ruled just this week. And guess who made the deciding vote? It was Justice Anthony Kennedy. Well, who appointed him to the Supreme Court? Well, that was a conservative Ronald Reagan. President Ronald Reagan made Anthony Kennedy a Supreme Court justice. They say, well, Kennedy is sort of he's halfway liberal, halfway conservative. Baloney, he's all the way devil. He doesn't go along with God's law. But they made a new decision just yesterday. Guess what it was? That states cannot have any restrictions on abortions. A state cannot have any restrictions on abortions. And who cast the deciding vote? Well, that would be the same Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. The conservative. Yeah, sure. And who was the president who nominated him? Mr. Kennedy to the Supreme Court? Why, that would be Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was no more a conservative than I am a purple people eater from planet Venus. There is no Republican. There is no Democrat. There's only a bunch of warmongering, whoremongering congressmen. They're opposed to the President of the United States complying with the Constitution. And they want to see America in the toilet. And I'm sick of it. I believe we should secede. I believe we need to secede. We need to do it legal, but we need to be firm about it. We need to secede. We need to get out of this hellhole. I've never said that before, several years back. I'm saying it now. I'm Tex Morris, my friends. You've been listening to Secrets Today. It's been great being with you. My prayer is you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.